and turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Where we left off last week, Peter has now come down from Caesarea, where he had been. He had stayed, they stayed a few days, is how chapter 10 had left off, that Cornelius had asked Peter to stay a few days with him and his friends and family that he had requested to come and be there with them. And now they're all Christians now. Peter and his six companions, they baptized all of the household, all the Gentiles who were there. And now then some days have passed, and the news of Peter associating with these Gentiles and eating with them, and it doesn't exactly get brought up, but definitely that he baptized them, that it has that news has already made it down to Jerusalem ahead of Peter making it down to Jerusalem. And when Peter shows up in Jerusalem, there is an uproar. And so this is where Peter was very wise in taking these six men, and we find out from this account only here in chapter 11 that he takes six men. And Peter is now defending himself, and it's a twofold process here. He's on the defense in one sense, but then he's also on the offense, telling them that this is what God has stated now, and so this is a new command, and this is the new way of doing things, that they are not going to be circumcising Gentiles any after this. Now, unfortunately, this wasn't the end all. They had this council in Acts 15, but then that still did not completely solve the issue, and they, for decades into the future, Peter and Paul, at least, continue to fight this group that is referred to as those of the circumcision over this issue. But that's what this account here, and what Peter is doing here, is defending himself. So we'll read verses 6 through 12, where here Peter is reiterating what had happened in Acts 15. So Acts 11, verse 6, Peter says, "When I observed it intently," this is this object that came, that had four corners that came from heaven. I'll back up in verse 5, so we'll get the context of where we ended off last week. Peter says, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, letting down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice say to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered into my mouth.' But the voice answered me again from heaven, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house." And Kaufman said, "Only here in verse 6 is it revealed that six men accompanied Peter on the mission to Caesarea. They were to be Peter's witnesses that God was now accepting Gentiles into his kingdom. Okay, now verses 13 and 14. And he told us how he had seen an angel. So this is the three men that Cornelius had sent. And so they are telling Peter that Cornelius had told these three men and relaying to Peter how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved." And Kaufman said, "Implicit in this is the fact that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was not in order to save Cornelius, nor were all of the almsgivings and prayers sufficient to save him. Salvation did not enter Cornelius's house until Peter came there with the gospel. A necessary inference from this is that Cornelius's baptism was a prior condition of his being saved, the command that he should be baptized being, in fact, the only command Peter addressed to him." So, whenever the angel told Cornelius that this Simon Peter, who is staying with Simon the Tanner in Joppa, he will tell you and your household what you must do to be saved. The only command that Peter gives them is to be baptized. And that's at the end of Acts 10. And Kaufman finishes up with these two verses with, "This is the first instance of a household baptism named in Acts. His relatives and close friends are the ones meant by this household. There is no mention of infants. It is declared that these who were baptized in the Holy Spirit and commanded to be baptized in water heard the gospel." Verse 15, and Peter continues, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning." Okay, Kaufman said, "A number of the most important facts are revealed in this short sentence." And there are three things revealed here. First, about the phrase, "as I began to speak," the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which occurred so early before Peter could deliver his soul-saving message, shows that the purpose of this Spirit baptism was unrelated to the salvation of Cornelius, being intended rather as a sign to Peter and his companions that God had called the Gentiles through the gospel. The second thing we learn from this short sentence, the phrase "as upon us at the beginning" clearly designates Pentecost as the beginning, this being the prime authority for accepting that day as the beginning of God's kingdom. So the day of Pentecost, this establishes that clearly as the beginning of God's kingdom. And the third thing we learn from this short sentence, it is a logical inference from these words that from the day of Pentecost to the calling of the Gentiles, no similar display of the Spirit had been given. Otherwise, they would not have gone so far back. The interval between Pentecost and this event was at least 7 or 8 years. Therefore, the clearly miraculous event of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is restricted to these two occasions, upon the 12 apostles at Pentecost and upon the Gentiles here. This symbolically included all of mankind. The Holy Spirit descended only twice. These outpourings were visible and were followed by miraculous demonstrations. And these two instances are the only two times that the Scriptures mention a baptism or immersion with the Holy Spirit. No miracle like that has been observed since. Now we'll read verses 16 and 17. Peter says, continues here, "Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us, 12 apostles, when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" Because the Holy Spirit had fallen on Cornelius and his household the very same way that he had fallen on the 12 apostles in Acts 2. And so how could he withstand God and hold back baptism and force them to be and require them to be circumcised before they're baptized? He couldn't. So they needed to go ahead and be baptized is the conclusion, the logical conclusion that he quickly came to here. And Kaufman said, this remark means that Peter would have been withstanding God if he had refused to baptize the household or had made a difference in other respects between Gentiles and Jews. The following 5 points are the essential facts from the beginning and in order. So here's 5 points as Peter was stating that this is a summary that he was telling these people in Jerusalem, these Jewish Christians, from the beginning and in order. First, Peter experienced the vision of the sheet let down from heaven. Second, the servants of Cornelius arrived to request that Peter go to the house of Cornelius so that he could tell them words by which they will be saved. It is made plain that the baptism of the Holy Spirit did not save Cornelius, but rather his salvation depended upon obedience to the words that Peter would tell him. The third point that we learn from the beginning and in order, the Holy Spirit fell upon the house of Cornelius as Peter began to speak. Peter does not teach the gospel to Cornelius until after this miraculous coming of God's Spirit. And the fourth point, if it had not been for this baptism of the Holy Spirit coming to the Gentiles, Peter would not have preached to Cornelius. The purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the Gentiles was to cause Peter to realize that what God has cleansed, he was not to count as unclean, and that he would withstand God if he refused to allow the Gentiles to obey the gospel. And the fifth point, that we learn in the fifth point that from what Peter has stated here. Peter correctly connected the coming of the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles with the baptism of the Holy Spirit that the apostles received on Pentecost. Peter said that God had given them, meaning the Gentiles, the same gift that he had given the apostles at the beginning, which was the day of Pentecost. It becomes clear that the miraculous event of the baptism of the Holy Spirit was restricted to these two occasions, upon the Jewish apostles at Pentecost and upon the Gentiles here. The Spirit of God had now been poured out upon all flesh, both Jew and Gentile. Despite those who claim to have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this phenomenon only occurred on these two occasions. Today, we are not waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for our salvation. Make no mistake about it. The baptism of the Holy Spirit did not save the apostles on Pentecost, nor did it save the house of Cornelius. Salvation requires obedience to the gospel of Christ. Now, we'll finish up with verse 18 here. So, when they, these Jewish Christians, living in Jerusalem, when they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. So they fully accepted Peter's explanation here, and from their words here, then they will follow suit and not require any Gentiles to be circumcised before they become Christians. And Kaufman said about this verse, when the Jewish brethren at Jerusalem heard this explanation, they ceased their rebuking of Peter. They had no recourse but to accept the fact that God had opened the kingdom of heaven to the Gentiles. This should have been the end of the circumcision problem, which disturbed the Christians at that time and for years afterward. The umbilical cord that bound God's kingdom to Judaism should have been accepted as cleanly cut by this decision approving Peter's actions. But Peter would later waver in the power and the powerful Judaizing party in the Jerusalem congregation would put up a prolonged struggle to drag circumcision and various other Jewish ceremonials into the Lord's body. the Judaizers in opposing Paul were defiant against God, whom they pretended to derive their authority. The problem was no doubt compounded by the large number of Pharisees who had become Christians, and it would not be finally laid to rest until the Apostle Paul would deliver the book of Galatians. Indeed, the problem, although diminished, had survived to modern times in such things as keeping the Sabbath, tithing, instruments of music in worship, and the burning of incense. And this phrase, God has granted repentance to life. To repent in a spiritual sense may be defined as a change of mind that produces a change of life. Repentance is something that men must do, and the opportunity for repentance is provided by the grace of God. By definition, the word repentance means to give one the ability to repent. Until the gospel was made available to the household of Cornelius, the ability to repent had not been available to the Gentiles. In one sense, repentance is something that men must do. In another sense, it is something that God gives. There is no merit pertaining to men in such a thing as repentance or any other obedience, and therefore, when God consents to allow repentance on man's part as one of the prior conditions of forgiving him, it is in essence a gift of God. Life is a reference to eternal life in heaven. The hundreds of years the Gentiles had spent in the shadow of the Jewish world have come to an end. A new day dawns, and life springs eternal for all of mankind who will fear God and work righteousness. So we will end there, and Lord willing, we will start with verse 19 next week.